The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to William Hill's Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Friday's racing on this edition. You'll hear it all on Racing Radio from 1:30 p.m. with Stephen Powell, John Budden and Gareth Topham in the studio. Good racing to look forward to as well. Day 3 of the St. Leger Festival at Doncaster, featuring plenty of top class racing there. We also have Sandown and Bangor on D in the afternoon. We'll finish the day with action at Wolverhampton and Down Royal. My name is Mark Walton. And joining me in the studio to look ahead to the action is Mick Norton. How are you, Mick?
Yes, good. Thank you, Mark.
Good. What have you made of Doncaster so far, then, Mick? We've already had one day's action as we record this, and shaping up nicely towards the St. Leger, isn't it?
It certainly is. The ground on the slow side, judging by the times, and probably more rain in the offing, could make it a real old stamina test for the St. Leger on Saturday, couldn't it, if it just keep running?
Yes, if the rain comes, it'll be a bit of a slog, won't it, in the end? It'll be stamina's coming, stayers, very much coming to the fore. And we have some early betting for the St. Leger as well, Excess Knowledge and Galileo Rock. The 7-2 joint favourites as we record this, Leading Light is 9-2, Foundry 6s, Libertarian 8s, Talent 10s, and then 14-1 or bigger prices. The rest, who'd you like at the minute, Mick?
Yeah, it's a tricky enough one, isn't it? Galileo Rock, I think they're concerned about the ground if it deteriorates. I mean, his brother, his close relation, Saddler's Rock, was very much a fast ground performer. Yeah. In fact, all his wins came on fastish ground, and he did struggle once there was any ease in the ground. So it's got to be a slight concern. And I can see why they fancy Excess Knowledge. John Gosden, I think, has earmarked him as his St. Leger horse, and of course he's won two of the last three, hasn't he?
Mm-hmm.
And comes into it fresher than most. Should have won the Golden Stakes. Don't know what Buick was playing at that day, but I suppose he's just had to put it was a good, the Goodwood factor as much as anything, rather than just blame Buick out of hand. James Doyle taking over in his job as stable as owner's rider.
Yep.
And I think he's probably the one to be, being a son of Monson, ground no problems.
Mm-hmm.
And by default, I can see why he's favourite. A couple of interesting little side issues, if you like. William Buick retained his association with Libertarian.
Yeah.
As Barcelona's on Kappa Rushes and D'Souza on Secret Number. I wouldn't rule him out, Libertarian. No. He's had a nice break since that busy little spell he had. He had Maiden, April, Great Dante, May, Derby, Irish Derby, all in the space of about 7 weeks.
Yeah.
Just too much for him, a horse we've never seen a race course at two. I still think he's a good horse. I know William Buick does.
Mm-hmm.
So I think he's got to go on the short list.
Do you think he'll stay enough? I mean, he has been staying on at the end of his races, hasn't he? But if there is rain, he's never tried the trip before.
No, that's true. You've got to take that on board. He's wearing cheap pieces as well.
Yeah.
I wouldn't make him my selection. I mean, the one who's guaranteed to stay and beyond is Leading Light, of course, who won the Queen's Vars, but they're talking about maybe not running him and going to Ireland instead, but which would leave Foundry as their representative. They've got a modest record, haven't they, the O'Brien team in the Leger? But, so I think we'll know a little bit more when they make their minds up about at Leading Light. Joe O'Brien is jocked up for him at the moment, and Ryan Moore on Foundry. So I don't know what's going to happen there. I think we'll just have to sit and wait and see. But at this moment, if you were to ask me now, I would say I would go with Excess Knowledge.
Okay. Mm. Well, we'll look forward to that on Saturday. But before that, we have Friday's racing. A good card on Friday as well. There's plenty of group racing on the card. We have the Flying Childers. There's the Doncaster Cup, which is the feature. There's the Mayhill Stakes. The Flying Scotsman is another listed race. So a really good card, and plenty of good handicaps on there as well, Mick. So good card to look forward to on Friday, definitely.
Absolutely, Mark. And we'll start by having a look at the opening race. The Flying Childers Stakes. It's Group 2 over the Flying 5. We've got a nice mix of colts and fillies.
Mm-hmm.
And Well, Richard Hannon won it last year with the Johnny Murtough-ridden Sir Prancelot, and I think he's the obvious starting point in this year's renewal. Thunderstrike is Richard's representative. Course and distance winner here at Doncaster. He won the Woodcut at Epsom in June. Then he finished third in the Richmond Stakes last month. And then he was an excellent second behind Hack Bidiak in that Doncaster Bloodstock Sales valuable race last time. And he does hold one of his rivals, Sleeper King, if you take that that run literally. And I think he, I thought he's acquitted himself well, which is the important thing. He's acquitted himself very well in both of his Group 2 starts. Third of 10, beaten 2.5 lengths by Sayer in the Richmond, and fourth of 15 in the Coventry behind War Command, where he was 7 back. But it was still a good enough effort. And I don't think it's a bad move bringing him back to 5, because he's unbeaten at 5. He's, you know, his first two wins came at 5. So that's not a problem. The slight concern, he's got no soft ground form.
Yeah.
But he is by Saki Street, and I would think they'll have every hope that he'll be able to handle it. Sleeper King, James Doyle ran it for Kevin Ryan. He was fourth in that sales race, apparently held by Thunderstrike, but we are going back a furlong, so I wouldn't take that too literally. He's run well on both of his tries on good to soft ground, which will help him. And he was, don't forget, he was only beaten a length and 3/4 when finishing fourth of 8 in the Malcolm, and 2.5 lengths, 8 of 24 in the Windsor Castle. So he won't be found wanting in this 5 furlong contest, Sleeper King. And I certainly wouldn't put anybody off backing him. Excel's Beauty, I would be concerned. I thought she struggled in the soft ground at York last time. Just fell in the hole in the last 150 yards or so. And if it does keep raining, it might be the same story here. Yeah. But I think she's probably the best of the fillies as it stands. And another two colts to give a mention to are Ambiance, who won a Sandown listed. Just forget the last run. They put the visor on him, which is retained, strangely enough. But it just lit him up in the Curragh last time. That was over 6. I think they're thinking probably as well, we'll go back a furlong, so it won't matter if he goes a bit free. But it's still a worry if the ground deteriorates. And Extortionist, if you forget the pre-robber Papin when he was far, far too free for his own good. He's a bit of a headstrong horse and wants to get it all over within the first half of the race. Mm-hmm. If he just learned to settle, he'd be a proper tool, Extortionist. But he might not learn this sprinting game until he's 3 or older. Now, I think at this moment in time, I think I'd be between Thunderstrike and Sleeper King, and if the ground it doesn't deteriorate too much, Thunderstrike would be quite a confident choice.
Okay. One more we haven't mentioned there, Mick, is Windfire right down at the bottom. Was a listed winner in the Bathwick Tyres St Hugh Stakes, got the better of the filly that the reposes, Excel's Beauty, on that occasion, and then third last time we saw
in
him at York, yeah, in the Lowther.
She's definitely not without a chance. My worry with her is she's improved for the step up to 6.
Yeah.
She's coming back to 5 here.
And all the form's been on firm ground as well, which is a concern.
Yeah, but it was more the trip that she looks as though she benefited from the step up to going back. Although she's got decent form at 5, I think she's improved for the step up to 6. And I just wonder if she'll get taken off her legs. And as you say, I mean, it was the extended 5 where, you know, when she won at Newbury, so she's down as a distance winner, but this is the bare 5 and it's a fast 5. So, yeah, that's just why I left her off the shortlist, Mark.
Okay. Let's move on then, Mick, to the 240 at Doncaster. This is the feature race. It's the Group 2 Doncaster Cup, which is part of the British Champions Series, and we're over the marathon trip of 2.25 miles for this. Where do you want to start here then, Mick?
Well, I spotted the winner of this a month ago at the EBA meeting at York when Time's Up finished third in the Lonsdale, only his third start of the season. He used to be trained by Ed's father, John, when he was a good winner of this last year, beat Hijinx, who reopposes, and that was a definite step But disappointed on his first two starts of the season, but that was definitely a step in the right direction last time. Not surprised Ryan Moore is on board. And he's a horse who does know how to win. He's won 9 of his 31 starts. Excellent third behind Azimar in the Lonsdale. And, well, we know that this course and distance is right up his street. And I'm anticipating a really big run from him in this group too. Hijinks reopposes. We haven't seen him for 106 days. I don't know what the reason for that is. He wears the tongue tie for the first time. He was beaten a neck by Times Up in this 12 months ago. Never really always looked that straightforward, Hijinks, but you can't fault his consistency. And the Fanshawe stable couldn't be in better form, could they? So it'd be folly to rule him out of the equation. One who might run well, I hope the dead eight all stand the ground, because one who might be worthy of each way support forecast with Times Up or whatever, or on the pro market place only, and that's Biographer, who's only had 9 career starts. True by Dave Lanigan, Ted Durkin taking the ride. He won the Normal Stakes at Ascot in October last year, which suggested that he might make up into a cup horse, and he finished second in a decent 2 mile listed contest in July in Sandown. And just forget the run last time, it was he went back to 1.5 miles, I think it was, and this back up to this 2.25. He's unexposed at these trips, he's a son of Monjeur, and I think the key thing is if it does rain quite heavily, both of his wins have been in very soft ground, so that the ground's going to hold no terrors for him. I think he could well outrun his prize Biographer, because I think they'll be all over Times Up like a rash, and with the Fanshawe team in good form, they'll be probably after Hijinks as well, and Biographer might get overlooked, and hard not to see him in the shake-up, especially if it keeps raining.
Okay, so do you play Times Up to win, or do you play Biographer each way, Mick?
I'd play Times Up to win, because I did put him down in my notebook as the likely winner of the Doncaster Cup after after the Lonsdale. But I'd certainly forecast Biographer and have a little sit of it on the pro market place only on Biographer.
Okay. The final race we're going to look at is the 4.25. This is a handicap over 6 furlongs, a good handicap as well, a Class 2 handicap. Plenty of runners, well, 14 runners in the field mix, so it's going to be competitive. Where do you want to start in this one?
Well, I think we'll start with the top weight, Shropshire, who's always there or thereabouts. And I think the key thing with this race is it's got half the field down as distance winners on your race card, but they're not, because this is 6.5 furlongs.
Yeah.
And they're 6 furlongs. They put them down as distance winners at 6 furlongs. And that's a key thing.
Yeah, 6 furlongs and 110 yards,
absolutely.
Isn't it?
Absolutely. It's 6.5 furlongs. And yeah. Shropshire finished 9th of 16 in this last year, off a mark of 99. He's £4 higher. He's run well here most starts, unlike at Goodwood, where he's been, where he was last time after being in good form, that he's disappointed. But he's never run well at Goodwood. So you just put your line through. Every time he's run at Goodwood, I think he's been there 3 times, he's always bombed out big time. And he was an excellent second behind York Glory in the Wokingham. I don't think the extra half furlong is going to be a big problem for him. My worry is that mark, he's only 2 from 22 his career straight race on turf, and I think that is down fairly and squarely at the handicapper's fault. He just never lets his horse go. And I think he's probably going to struggle again off...
Yeah, too consistent for his own good,
absolutely,
isn't it?
Yeah, off 103. And down at the bottom might be a lurker, Sir Reginald, back to form last time. He's now got to £13 lower than his last win, Paul Hannigan riding for Richard Fahey. He hasn't got much soft in his form and his going descriptions, but he was a close fourth on heavy ground at Newmarket in July last year. Remember when it was we had a really bad time of it last July time, and he finished fourth and wasn't beaten that far. So he may not be inconvenienced if it does keep raining, and it's too well handicapped to ignore. £13 lower than his last winner, back to form at Chester last time, so he's got to go on the shortlist. But I'm going to take a flyer with one here, Mark, and this should be a good price. And that's Birdie Whittle. He's been running in very hot races, the International, etc., races like that. He's back to a workable mark. He's been placed off high. He can run off 96. It's still £12 higher than his last win, I know. But he has been placed off higher and placed recently as well. And he's got plenty of form on soft ground. Now, the key thing with this horse that's made me sort of make him the speculative selection is that he's a 7 furlong specialist. And that's a big plus here over this extra half a furlong trip, where most of these horses are going to go off at 6 furlong pace.
Yeah.
They're not going to factor in the extra half a furlong. And Bertie Whittle, if he's on his A game,
won't be staying on.
You know he won't be found wanting by that last half furlong.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to take a chance on him. He's not well handicapped, but he can run up. He can run a big race off of this mark. And if they do tee the race up for him, I think he could outrun his price. I would anticipate a double-figure price about Bertie Whittle. So I'm going to make him the selection in the 425.
Okay. Let's have a quick summary then, Mick, if you will. If you'll spin us through your three one more time.
Yeah, we're all ground-dependent, I know, but we've got to do it 24 hours in advance. The 140th Flying Shoulders, I'm going to go with Thunderstrike, who's acquitted himself in both of his Group 2s so far this season, and this looks a good opportunity. Coming back to 5, a trip he's unbeaten at. The Doncaster Cup, the 220, I think time's up after his excellent run in the Lonsdale last time 3 weeks ago at the Ebor meeting, is the one to beat. But if you wanted to have a bit of fun each way or in the forecast or on the pro market, I think Biographer is going to outrun his price, especially if it keeps raining, as there is plenty of rain in the forecast, but whether it appears, we don't know. If it doesn't, if it stays dry, they'll probably go too quick for him. But if it does come up soft, I'd certainly put Biographer in the equation. And in the 425, a very competitive 14 runner, 6.5 furlong handicap, I'm going to take a chance on the 7 furlong specialist Bertie Whittle to outstay them close home.
Good stuff. Thank you very much, Mick. Enjoy it on Friday.
Thank you, Mark.
So there you go then, the thoughts of Mick Norton for Friday's card at Doncaster. It's day 3 of the St. Ledger Festival. Plenty of top racing to look forward to on Town Moor on Friday. Alongside that, we have racing at Sandown and jumping at Bangor on Dee in the afternoon. And in the evening, we're on the all-weather poly track at Wolverhampton, and there's Irish racing from Down Royal as well. So plenty of good racing to look forward to. 5 meetings in total, and you'll hear it all on Racing Radio from 1:30 p.m. with Stephen Powell, John Budden and Gareth Topham in the studio. Thank you very much for listening to the William Hill Racing Podcast, and enjoy Friday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.